their bill increases will go up by about 11.2%. We want to remind you that our water bills represent only about 6% of basic utility services for retail residential customers. And if you look at the next page, you see a basic pie chart that outlines that. We don't look at cable, internet, and cellular phones, but if you look at our pie chart, about 6% of the typical monthly charge is for water, 26% for natural gas, 31% for electricity, 12% for telephone, 17% for sewer, stormwater, and then 7% for solid waste and recycling. So we think we're still one of the lowest of the utility providers, necessary utilities for our residential customers. If you look at the next chart, basically what we're looking at is our average annual change has been 4.7. Our average annual change adjusted for inflation has been 1.23%. The next page shows a comparison of proposed typical monthly residential utility bills. We have among our region, looking at Clackamas River Water, Rockwood, Tigard, Lake Oswego, TVWD, Beaverton, Tualatin, and Gresham, we have the lowest of the water rates among all of those. When you do combine them with sewer, as Dean said, they are up there, although they're not the highest in this region. And as Dean mentioned, a lot of that has to do with dealing with the combined sewer overflow issue. Looking at the next page, as I mentioned, we have some of the lowest SDCs around. Our proposed SDCs are 1,760 for a typical residential system SDC versus Tigard, Beaverton, Gresham, and TVWD, all significantly higher. Our development charges, if you look at the next page, as you know, we do propose full cost recovery for most items. Some of our changes in our charges have gone up, others have gone down, others have remained the same. One that I want to mention specifically, because it might cause your eyes to open a little bit, is the collection charges vary from increasing of 0% to 95%. Let me give you an example of a couple of collection charges that have that kind of an increase. Usually they're for significant for non-payment or unauthorized uses. So the removal of a meter or a spacer or a standpipe has gone from $75 to $135 to fully recover the cost of coming out, removing that meter. That's an 80% increase. To crimp or uncrimp a service is going from $300 to $585, so a 95% increase. So that is when a customer has tried to bypass the meter or otherwise tamper with their service, and we've been forced to come out and actually crimp their service. So we are doing a full cost recovery on that, and that's why that's such a high impact. Let me touch on a couple of things that the PIRB mentioned. Average rate increases should be in line with current inflation and cost of living increases. The Water Bureau has been given a mandate by Commissioner Leonard with the support of the Council to invest in the repair and maintenance of its aging infrastructure. We have a very robust asset management program that identifies areas of high risk and consequence, and we're addressing those areas. Rate increases in the double digits have been common for many of the large public water systems in the country, Atlanta, New York, other areas, and that's the sort of thing we're seeing as we start dealing with an infrastructure that's over 100 years old in places. Two only projects that represent a clear, sharp peak in Bureau spending. John mentioned the Big Pipe Project. LT2 was also mentioned in the written PIRB testimony, can justify the added expense of bond financing. We have a $59 million capital budget this year that we finance largely through bonds. If we were to finance through this through rates alone, we'd have an immediate rate impact of raising water rates by approximately 72%, and I don't think you're going to buy that. The LT2 reserve account is not helpful and shouldn't be funded. $2 million out of
why don't you make clear that that's what the PIRB said?
Okay, so sorry. Moving right along, the PIRB indicated that they felt the LT2 reserve account was not helpful and shouldn't be funded. And a $2 million reserve account out of $200 million is not a lot of money, that's true. But it's an ongoing annual amount, meaning that over 5 years it would accrue $10 million. And our plan is to add an additional 2% each year for the next 3 years, generating as much as $21 million over 5 years, including interest. That is still a small amount, 21 out of $200 million, but some advance savings, in our opinion, is better than none at all. And we don't consider $21 million insignificant. I only have two more that I'm going to touch bases on. They also indicated that the open reservoir maintenance project should not be done this year. As we've stated in the past, no matter what the outcome of our compliance strategy is on LT2, much of the work that we're doing will still be required. Most of the $23 million in the Mount Tabor and Washington Park projects goes towards pipes and valves that will enable us to bypass the reservoirs and to do so remotely. So far, our staff has deleted approximately $1.8 million from the project. That may grow to as much as $2.5 million. And frankly, we're going to continue to evaluate the project as our compliance strategy evolves over the next couple of years. And then finally, the PIRB mentioned that we need to look for ways to speed the Sandy River Conduit Crossing project up. Well, we're moving as fast as the city process will allow us to move. We have two design-build firms that are proposing to start shaft construction this fall in October. And the latest we expect to start would be in April of 2009. And this is, for us, a fairly sophisticated project. We are going to be tunneling as deep as 100 feet below the Sandy River to bury those two conduits. So we're moving along. It's one of our highest priorities, and we expect to have it done on time and within the budget we put together. I'd be glad to answer any questions if you have them.
An excellent presentation.
Thank you.
This is a second reading, but because it's new information, I think we should open up.
Before we vote, I just want to make clear my appreciation for the work of the Water Bureau, David Schaff, David Hassan. They're a great team, and they're a very can-do agency, and I appreciate all the work that they do.
Did we have a sign-up sheet on this?
We did. We have Andy Seaton and Veronica Vernier.
Oh, excuse me. Whoa. No, go ahead.
Please state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
Sure. Good morning, Mayor Potter. My name is Veronica Vernier, and I'm a student from PSU Public Health, graduate of an alumni of PSU 2005, with a minor in urban health and water quality. I just added a little bit to it. I know I can do it. Just back it up with a few more credits there. But what I was going to say really is water quality is important. I think that what we're talking about here is so important. The storm drains up there in Washington Park, the drainage on the hill, the actual built environment of Washington Park is important to the city. According to former Mayor Vera Katz, someone who said Portland is a city that works well safely. They added safely to it. Mayor Bud Clark mentioned that also in comments about underground tributaries. He was always into the water and wondering where it was going. Both of those mayors are good and current. Current Mayor Tom Potter is well into the park systems, and I support where he is along the lifespan of the city. You're doing a great job, Tom, really. But what I wanted to say is this. As a student, my former professor, Antonio Giuliano, from the district that he lives in, has underscored the importance of water. And he taught us in PSU certain things to look for. I followed the creeks and waterbeds all over the city. I walk an average of 5 to 7, sometimes 10 or 11 miles a day on various paths. And I run into various people, runners, joggers, everything, you know, dogs. One bobcat, no deer yet, but a lot of dogs up there. And there's wherein lies the plot. The dogs, of course, in the park are welcome, and on leash is really, really well recommended. I underline that. I just wanted to underline something else. The children walking in the park are very important to us, and I want to make sure that even though there's a lot of plans for the built environment there, that they are protected within that environment. You know, the dog runs need to be upgraded. Off-leash laws are really important. And also this general water thing brings up one last comment about the water department. Anytime anyone brings in a water bill and needs help paying it, look into that problem right away, ready, quick. It's the right thing to do. Thanks a lot.
My name is Andy Seaton again. I'm at a bit of a loss here at this moment because I didn't get a copy of this with the when I was getting a copy of the items from this week because it's second reading sort of officially. And one of the high points of Portland here and the services that you guys provide is the quality of water and water-related services, as it says here. But I just want to make my presence known, which I'll be doing continually here. I was at a conference for global transformation over the weekend down in San Francisco, and I realized that one thing I'm really good at is being a pain in the butt, or to look at it in more enlightened terms would be a world.
I don't disagree with your assessment, Andy, but you have to keep to the point, and the point is about the. Proposed water services and rates.
All righty. Well, seeing as how I'm at a bureaucratic disadvantage here, and I also, you know, when you're talking about following the rules and regulations after what you pulled last week, it's the pot calling the kettle black. So although that may be a bit of I'm sorry if anyone was offended by that. So anyway, I will defer to the next item, which I do have some good detailed documentation on and some good bureaucratic questions on, and it's not quite that easy to get rid of me. Thank you very much.
Is that it?
That's all who signed up.
Please call the vote.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Please read the 10:30 time certain.
Authorize an agreement with Travel Portland for the promotion of convention, business, and tourism, waive the provisions of City Code Chapter 5.68, and provide for payment.
Morning, folks.
Morning. Good morning, Mayor. For the record, I am Judy Tuttle. I'm with the Office of Management and Finance. I'm being joined today by Carol Lentz, who's the Executive Vice President of Travel Portland, formerly the Portland Oregon Visitors Association, a phrase that I have tried to learn over the last 6 months. The ordinance before you authorizes an agreement with Travel Portland for the promotion of convention business and tourism. It also waives Portland City Code 5.68 and provides for payment. All of the council offices were briefed on this, so I'm going to be judiciously brief in my comments, but I did want to just talk a little bit about the status of the current agreement. As all of you know, this agreement is funded with 1% of the transient lodging tax collections and was approved by a charter amendment in 1978, passed by the voters of this community. The current agreement, which is with Portland, Oregon Visitors Association, now Travel Portland, expires in June 30th this year. Now, Travel Portland and its predecessors, POVA, and earlier the Greater Portland Convention and Visitors Bureau, have held this agreement continuously since the charter amendment passed in 1978. That portion of the charter requires that the city contract be awarded to a nonprofit corporation whose primary purpose is the promotion the promotion, solicitation, procurement, and services of convention business and tourism in the city. In 2005, before the current agreement was put in place, the city issued an RFQ to see if there were any other qualified organizations that might come forward. Tribal Portland, then POVO, was the only respondent to that RFQ. The agreement that accompanies this ordinance does have some very close resemblance to prior agreements, but there are a couple of minor changes, mostly housekeeping changes that address the reporting requirements of the agreement to different dates. And as in the past, this agreement was to be reported to council in April. That's been changed to August. So those kinds of minor date changes on the reporting requirements. There is also some added language which requires closer alignment to other standard city contracting rules, particularly when it comes to contracting or subcontracting with minority-owned firms. The agreement also adds two new performance measures, one on tourism sales activity and one on positive media placement. We have a fairly significant set of benchmarks that go with this agreement, and these two are added this year. The term of the agreement is for 3 years with an option to extend for two additional years. So that's the agreement before you, and I'd like to turn it over to Carol, who has a few remarks.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Carol Lentz. I'm the Executive Vice President with the Travel Portland, formerly the Portland, Oregon Visitors Association, or as we all know and love, POVA. First of all, I'd like to congratulate Randy Leonard on your reelection and sizable vote. And I'd also like to thank Mayor Potter and Dan Salzman for your years of leadership in really making Portland one of the most livable cities. All of us at Travel Portland, the staff, the board, and over 1,100 industry partners are looking forward to working together with you and the new commission to keep Portland vibrant, economically prosperous, environmentally connected, and ever vigilant in leading the nation to ensure human rights and dignity for all who live, work, and visit here. Ensuring Portland is the best place to live, work, and play is good for all of us, and the quality of life is what makes Portland a most desired destination for meetings, conventions, and leisure travelers. Portland is experiencing tremendous growth in the tourism industry, with increased international nonstop flights to Europe, Asia, and Mexico. The world is discovering us. The best news is that they have found their experience to exceed their expectations. Just last week, our tourism sales staff were successful in getting a Portland tour published in Cook Travel Guide. Now, that may seem like a small feat, but that has been something we've been working on since I have been at POVA at Travel Portland, which is almost 20 years now. Cook Travel is the second largest tour operator in the world. They are very, very selective and only include tours they believe will be successful in an international marketplace. The representatives from Cook Travel came out to Portland on a familiarization tour. Our staff escorted them around the city and region, and they were absolutely blown away by Portland and the metro region. This was a long, nurturing process that was fueled by a very strong, successful public relations effort. Last year, as a direct result of Travel Portland's activities, Portland received $5.6 million in positive media coverage. This year, just 9 months into the contract, we have already received over $9 million worth of positive coverage. Now, this is not advertising. We couldn't even come close to being able to pay for advertising. This is independent editorial articles, which we can convert into column inches of advertising value, but which are really priceless when it comes to credibility and believability when people read. You'll be receiving our third quarter report soon that will show the details of Travel Portland's continued success for the last 9 months. Just a few of those successes include 44 booked conventions for the future with an economic value of $45.6 million. 182 total room nights with an economic impact of over $100 million. Over 400,000 visitors have already walked through the front door of the Downtown Visitor Information Center this year. That's only after 9 months, so we're going to well exceed the 600,000 that we normally do. And there's been a 10% growth in room tax, generating over $12 million in 9 months for the general fund. So we're glad to be a part of that. While we have many successes, we are constantly battling the competition and some challenges. The lack of a headquarters hotel is still a major competitive disadvantage for the convention bookings. Increasing oil costs are going to influence leisure travelers. General softening of the economy, that's going to mean less business travel and leisure travel. And we are currently in the lead in the green markets, but the competition is getting hot. We'll need to continue working very hard in that area to maintain our leadership. But we also have some real strong advantages. The soft U.S. dollar internationally makes Oregon a real bargain, and especially now with our international service, non-stop services. Portland, consistent, excellent image. We can't emphasize that enough. Portland's people, our open friendliness still amazes visitors. When we get comments from conventioners who say, even your panhandlers are cordial. While it's a problem, it's really nice to hear at least that they're not aggressive. And our biggest is the Portland wow factor. What we find and hear most commonly is when visitors come here, they always are saying, I never knew. Wow. I didn't know you had mountains so close. We didn't know you had an ocean so close. We didn't know you had such a vibrant downtown. We didn't know, you know, it just goes on. And the word of mouth that comes from just that wow factor is exceptional. As a city, we continue to surpass expectations, and this is a good foundation for the future. And everyone at Travel Portland is looking forward to sharing that success and being a partner in helping to work with the challenges. Thank you.
Questions from commissioners? Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Do we have a sign-up sheet?
We do. We have Andrew Seaton.
Please come forward.
Good morning. Andy Seaton, representing myself. Listening to the testimony and before and also going through the paperwork here, couple questions, comments or whatever. On item 7 here, it says that you're waiving Chapter 5.6 of the City Code, which is basically the purchasing procedures for professional services. And this is a lot of money. And it's also represents handling of a tax that's being charged that I find it bothersome that you guys are waiving city code to give this to a single source contract, as nice as they are. But I think that especially considering the fact that this is basically the city is turning over an entire revenue stream over to a single organization is without without following standard city procedure and city code, following the law is problematic. She was talking some of the testimony here. There's the tax itself is a 1% tax on travelers to Portland. I like the phraseology here is talking about transients, I'm rather curious as to see whether or not this money might be able to be part of it might be able to be spent to support those that are permanently transient here in Portland. But, you know, taxing a motel tax, a hotel motel tax, is a great tax because it doesn't tax our own citizens. It taxes folks that aren't going to be coming back. And compared to some cities, a 1% surtax on health hotel bills is minor. She did, in the previous testimony, she did say that the rising price in oil is cutting back on the travel, but it actually, one of the nice things it does is it increases domestic travel versus international. I'm also rather curious as to their talk about second section here, talking about potential return on investments targets, and I'm rather curious to see whether or not those are actually being met, and it would have been nice to have seen that paperwork here. And finally, the question of having nice panhandlers in Portland is certainly good to hear, but it would be nice if the folks were didn't have to panhandle, and it also would be nice if the city would provide services in such a manner that the homeless just wouldn't be out of sight and out of mind. Thank you very much.
Is that it?
That's all.
Non-emergency moves to a second reading. Please read on the regular agenda, item 661.
Amend intergovernmental agreement with Washington County to extend the time period for the distribution of equipment, supplies, and services procured as a result of Urban Areas Security Initiative Grant, fiscal year 2007.
It's a second reading. Call the vote.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 662.
Accept bid of Parker Northwest Paving Company for the 2008 Local Improvement Districts Project for $790,957.
Good morning, Mayor Potter and members of City Council. I'm Christine Moody from the Bureau of Purchases. Before you is a purchasing agent report recommending an award on bid number 108670 for the 2008 Local Improvement Districts Project in the amount of $790,956. The Bureau of Transportation Engineering and Development, along with the Bureau of Purchases, identified 12 divisions of work for potential MWESB subcontracting. Participation for this project represents 13.5% of the identified subcontracting dollars. Parker Northwest Paving is a local contractor located in Oregon City. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Questions from the commissioners. Thank you. Did we have a sign-up sheet on this?
I did not have a sign-up sheet, but Andy Seaton wanted to speak on this.
Come forward, please.
Andy Seaton, resident of Portland, speaking for myself. Doing some rough calculations here, and I was able to, despite my unmentionable trip to San Francisco, I was able to do a little bit of follow-up research with the Housing Authority of Portland website, and determined that $600 a month is about a reasonable amount of money to say what a one-bedroom apartment would cost to house the homeless. And working that out here, the budget amount of money would $1,110,000 would work out to 154 apartments years. And the amount that you guys came in, I was rather surprised to see that you're able to save significant amounts of money here at $790,956.64 would be equal to 109 apartment years. And the question I have for the City Council in general is, when you do come in under budget here, what happens to the excess money that has been allocated in the budget, and whether or not those sort of fees could be redirected to other services or not, in particular a service that is desperately needed in this city. The question of paving the streets and concrete cutting and all of that are the sort of things that an average city needs to do. It looks like they are doing 13% of minorities, women's, and emerging small business participation. And as I've said before, although you can't do it this week because you've had a good job of shutting down yet another peaceful protest out in front of City Hall. You saw that the sidewalk was completely clear of all the protest signs and protesters this morning. Many of the folks in the homeless community do construction work and would be available, and they certainly would qualify as an emerging small business. And it might even be one way to solve the homelessness problem here in Portland, in part might be to spend some city tax dollars to put together an office designed to bring them into the world of city contractors and city subcontractors. So this problem goes on, and you know, just like you got to pave the streets, you're going to have a Department of Bureau of Transportation, Engineering, and Development rates, it seems like the problem is endless of homelessness, and it truly isn't. Thank you. Although my testimony is.
Is that it?
That's all. Signed up.
Okay, I need a motion to accept.
So moved. Andrew?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. I just wanted to answer the question about the savings on the construction contract. We're very pleased that the bids came in low. LID funds cannot be used for other purposes. The construction savings will be passed back to the property owners and the four LIDs. Thank you.
Thank you. Did I hear a second?
Second.
Please call the vote.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 663.
Accept bid of Henderson Land Services, LLC, for the Burlingame Sanitary Trunk Sewer Pipe Protection Project for $959,985.
Christine Moody, Bureau of Purchases. Before you is a purchasing agent report recommending an award on bid number 108672 for the Burlingame Sanitary Trunk Sewer Pipe Protection Project in the amount of $959,985. The Bureau of Environmental Services, along with purchases, identified 8 divisions of work for potential MWESB subcontracting. Participation for this project represents 1.5% of the identified subcontracting dollars. Henderson Land Services is a local contractor located in Lake Oswego.
Questions from the commissioners? Anybody sign up to testify on this matter?
I didn't have a sign-up sheet, but Andrew Seaton has requested to testify.
Come forward, please.
So, Andy Seaton, representing myself. So I'm rather curious. It's something that was brought up, you know, last week or a couple of weeks ago in testimony, which was the people were complaining about spending money on the on moving the Savi Island Bridge, and saying that basically it was rather an interesting turn of the phrase. Why not in my backyard for spending money on improving sidewalks and other city services, city infrastructure. And it brought up an interesting question for me, which was why is it that a local neighborhood, if it wants a sidewalk, it has to bill itself?
Keep your remarks to the issue at hand, please.
Well, this is the issue at hand. We're talking about spending money here for city improvements, and
that's not the issue at hand. The issue at hand is specific to the sewer trunk, sanitary sewer trunk pipe protection project. Remark to that or nothing.
All right. Well, in that case, the total budget here is on this was $1,125,000, and which works out to about 156 apartments for a single year to house the homeless, and the bid came in at an estimated $959,985, which works out to roughly about $137 apartments for a single year, and Again, they were able to find some minority women and emerging small business subcontracting opportunities for the project, resulting in $363,000, and which is good here, I suppose. There's rather curious some questions about that. There's a warranty maintenance bond at 20% of the final contract. But it will be furnished by the contractor before final payment is released, and so basically we're trying to get a warranty on all of this work, which I suppose is a good thing. I'm rather curious as to exactly how that would work and whether or not interest is being charged, or for the contractor or by the contractor, whether or not he gets all of his 20. If the work was fine, whether or not he's going to get all the final payment of 20%. Is that after 2 years and nothing went wrong? And if so, did he earn any interest on the matter? And considering the interest rates that the Water Bureau was charging in our return on investment, it could be quite a good investment for them. How's that? Thank you.
This report, I need a motion to accept.
So moved. Second.
Call the vote.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 664.
Authorized contract with Bertain International Trucks of Portland to furnish 15 12/15 yard dump trucks for the Portland Department of Transportation and Water Bureau for $2,151,650.
Christine Moody, Bureau Purchases. Before you is a purchasing agent report recommending an award on bid number 108027 for the purchase of 15 dump trucks in the amount of $2,151,650. OMF Business Operations and City Fleet, along with the Bureau Purchases, issued an invitation to bid and received three responses. Bertain International Trucks was determined to be the lowest responsive bidder, providing the trucks at $143,000 each. Bertain International Trucks is a local vendor located in Portland. Thank you.
Questions from the commissioners? Is there a sign-up sheet for this?
This was heard last week. I believe Commissioner Adams had a question about it.
Yes, and that question was answered to my satisfaction. So since there was a testimony last week,
we're going
directly to vote. Please. We need a report to accept the, a motion to accept the report.
So moved.
Please call the vote.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 665.
Authorize a contract and provide for payment to OTEC, Inc., for professional project management and engineering services for the design of the East Lentz Floodplain Restoration Project, Phase 1, Project Number 7384.
I'm Don Henry. I'm the project design manager working with the Bureau of Environmental Services in the Public Works Division. We have went through a pre-design report. Let me back up here. FEMA gave us money for a flood mitigation project out on Foster Road and 112. We have, since that time, conducted a pre-design study, selected a preferred alternative, and have advertised for a design firm to design contract documents suitable for bidding for flood mitigation and stream enhancement improvements. And that's what you have before you right now, is a ordinance to accept the contract and make payment.
Questions? Thank you, folks. Is anyone signed to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet, but Andrew Seaton has requested to testify.
Please come forward.
Andy Seaton, citizen of Portland by choice. It would make a lot more sense for me to move to Washington State where there's no state income tax, and I do a lot of my work for companies out of Seattle, but I actually quite enjoy living in Portland. So the total total amount that's being proposed here is on the project is $3,600,000. $48,091 for the floodplain reconnection project, and which worked out to 506 apartments for a year. Although it was a little unclear here from the paperwork, it looks like OTAC is not the is professional project is they're not actually providing it the services there, and but their end of the contract here is $695,788, of which FEMA, which is the Federal Emergency Management Agency, I suppose, would be receiving, would be paying $173,000. It's not very clear here from the paperwork to exactly how this all fits together. And granted, I haven't had a whole lot of time to look over it here this morning. But I'm rather curious as to why FEMA would be providing this. I suppose that would be in the sort of preventive emergency management aspects of what FEMA does, as opposed to trying to mitigate disasters such as New Orleans and Hurricane Katrina. Let's see here, 165. Yeah, looking on page 3 of 5 of the first section, going through these amount of monies here, that looks like that probably adds up to their 695 on their that table there does look like it does add up to the $365,000. Although it's not entirely clear to me. Yes, it's not to. It's if you look at the first paragraph there, that's what it says, and attachment C is a fee estimate to be seen later. All manner of fun things here. $1 for photocopies, 10 cents a page for standard photocopying, print copying of 25 cents a square foot. These are all wonderful sort of standard fees that, that I'm sure could be reduced. It sounds like they're going to Kinko's for every copy that they're going in. Come to think of it, Kinko's doesn't even charge 25 cents a copy, so we should perhaps be asking them since this is millions of dollars and probably thousands and thousands of pages, we should be asking for a rate on our copying fees. So thank you very much.
It's not an emergency. Move to a second reading. Please read item 666.
Authorize a contract with CH2M Hill for professional engineering services for the Columbia Boulevard Wastewater Treatment Plant Wet Weather Screening Facility, project number 5512.
This is a second reading. Call a vote.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 667.
Authorize intergovernmental agreement with Clean Water Services to control garlic mustard in the Tualatin River Basin.
Say second reading. Call a vote.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 668.
Set hearing date 9:30 a.m. Wednesday, June 25th, 2008, to vacate a portion of Northeast 44th Avenue south of Northeast Halsey Street.
Staff?
Good morning. Linda Berth, Portland Transportation. This item and the following item would have normally been on the consent agenda. The public hearing for these street vacations will be June 25th.
Did you say the 668 and 669?
Yes, the next. These.
Could you read 669 too?
Mm-hmm. Set hearing date 9:30 a.m. Wednesday, June 25th, 2008, to vacate North Heinemann Street east of North Lombard Street.
Please continue.
This one would also have been on consent.
Anyone want to testify on these matters?
Andrew Seaton.
These matters are heard as one testimony. You have a chance to testify once on both matters.
My name is Andy Seaton. I'm representing myself. Um, going through these, it's nice to see what life is like without a consent agenda. Going through the paperwork here, this is request to vacate North Hindman Street east of North Lombard Street. The street vacation is proposed in order to consolidate property. Let's see. So I take it that they are basically doing away with the city street in the process here for off of Lombard. And looks like in the Exhibit 1, it looks like it's barely a block long. And the question is, you know, consolidating property, it gets into, again, the question, the only thing the homeless want in this town is a place that they can call their own.
Keep your remarks pertinent to this issue.
All righty.
And the issue precisely is to set a hearing date of June 25th at 9:30 for these two matters.
I see. All righty. So, let's see. The date is approved vacation engineering. Setting hearing date, June 25th. Well, let's see. What's happening on June 25th? Wrong button. The question is in that particular case, what else is going to be heard on that day, and what is the time available, and whether or not it would be open for further discussion, and to whether or not that discussion would be more things would be allowed to be discussed in that moment or not, whether or not the proper use of land in the city for consolidation is for unknown. Topics to be seen later. Who knows what the consolidated property for what purpose, and what are the options for the use of city land, and whether or not there will be a time on June 25th at 9:30 a.m. to discuss possible other options rather than just turning it over to some developer. So these are all good questions that I have, and I'm rather curious to see when when you're talking about this, and it looks like on the other item here, I'm not exactly sure which agenda item this would be. Let's see. This would be Office of Transportation, I think 668, which is 44th.
Keep your remarks to the 25th.
Of the 25th? The northeast 44th Avenue south of Halsey Street. Again, it looks like you're giving up about a block here, and it looks like according to this has been poorly subdivided. Thank you very much.
Please read item 668.
Set hearing date 9:30 a.m. Wednesday, June 25th, 2008, to vacate a portion of Northeast 44th Avenue, south of Northeast Halsey Street.
To report, I need a motion to accept.
So moved.
Second. Call a vote.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read 669.
Set a hearing date, 9:30 a.m. Wednesday, June 25th, 2008, to vacate North Hindman Street, east of North Lombard Street.
Need a motion to accept.
So moved.
Second.
Call a vote.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read 670.
Amend intergovernmental agreement with the Oregon Department of Transportation for design and construction of the North Ledbetter Overcrossing Project.
Second reading, call a vote.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Can we hear 671 and 72 together?
Yes, that'd be great.
Please read 671 and 672.
671, accept a grant from Multnomah County in the amount of $192,846 for operation of an integration program for senior citizens who have developmental disabilities. 672, authorized application to the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation for a grant in the amount of $95,000 for implementation of ParkScan, a system to provide the public greater ability to report and track maintenance issues on park property.
Mr. Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. 671 accepts a grant from Multnomah County for our senior center project, which provides recreation integration to developmentally disabled senior adults, among other things. 672 authorizes us to apply for a grant in the amount of $95,000 for implementation of a park scan system to provide greater ability to report and track maintenance issues on park property.
Questions? Anyone sign up to testify on these two matters?
I did not have a sign-up sheet. Andrew Seaton would like to testify.
Please come forward. These are heard together. You have 1 3-minute time slot.
Thank you.
My name is Andy Seaton still. Let's see here, getting these in order. Accepting a grant from Loma County in the amount of $192,846 for the operation of an integrated senior citizens integration program for senior citizens with developmental disabilities. And $192,000 works out to roughly 26 years worth of an apartment here in Portland.
Any remarks to this issue?
Thank you. In that case, I'll have to talk in terms of developmental disabilities of senior citizens, who describes many of the homeless folks that I have found who do qualify as senior citizens and have been mainstreamed, kicked out of the mental health system, and have been left to fund to their own devices. And it would be nice to see if some of them can be served by this system. And have some of their needs met, but it has always been a question for me as to as someone who has come close to being homeless myself a few times, and there are those who would probably question my developmental disabilities myself, and also would begin with the amount of gray hair I have, whether or not I qualify as a senior citizen, as to how to find out what's available and what services are available for folks, especially for the homeless, which is the problem with kicking them all the way out to the airport. And on the other ordinance here, the one from the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation in the amount of $95,000, online maintenance is and using online technology is computer technology to automate the systems is a great way to reduce costs and increase feedback, and so this is a wonderful idea. There's a question as to whether or not which city department, which city services are best used by the homeless situation.
Keep your remarks to the issue at hand, please.
If you let me finish my sentence.
Well, your sentence does not have to do with this issue. I'm telling you to keep it to the issue involved.
And as I was about to say, the it seems to have been devolved to the park system, for the most part, to deal with the homeless situation. And anything which can be done to decrease the cost of the park system here in Portland and increase their response time is a good thing. And perhaps some of the money that can be saved in the long run by these sort of improvements could be used
time
to help them.
$671. Please read that.
Accept a grant from Multnomah County in the amount of $192,846 for operation of an integration program for senior citizens who have developmental disabilities.
Non-emergency moves to a second reading. Please read 672.
Authorize application to the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation for a grant in the amount of $95,000 for implementation of ParkScan, a system to provide the public greater ability to report and track maintenance issues on park property.
It's a non-emergency moves to a second reading. We're adjourned until next week.